Turning with me to Joshua chapter 14. In the Bible, there are many, many people of faith and many people who don't have any faith or very little. And there are those that have faith that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, and we can look at them. And then it talks about those, it doesn't mention names, but talks about all those that did great things for the Lord. But one name that isn't mentioned that you almost feel like, well, it just was left out. How could you not mention this name? A person who had tremendous faith. A faith likened unto Abraham and many other men and women that had that faith. A man who said eventually after many, many years, give me my mountain. A man we know as Caleb. Caleb was one of the two spies that went into the land that said we can take it. Now we know about Joshua. He was the leader. But Caleb almost gets overlooked sometimes. And that's a shame. Because Caleb just seemed like he never wavered in his faith, at least what we're told, in following God with all his heart, wholly, as the Lord would put it. Let's read these verses here, beginning in verse 8 of Joshua chapter 14 together, please. Nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years ever since the Lord spoke these words to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you have heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and that I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb the son of Jephunneh as an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. What a passage. What a story. When you stop and you think about Caleb, there are several wonderful lessons we can learn by this man of faith. Caleb used the past to go forward. Caleb had lived a long time and had seen a lot of things. And don't underestimate the wonderful thing there if you know how to use the past. He saw the value in the past. A lot of people just think of the past nostalgically. You know, prices used to be a lot lower. And it just seemed like people were friendlier and happier and everything was better. Well, you know, the wise man said, do not say, why are the former days better than these? Because in the past, not only do you have all those good things that you're thinking about, and that's what nostalgia is. It's remembering all the good and forgetting all the bad. All your failures, all your mistakes, all your sins, all of that's back there too. And we need to remember that we need to see both the good and the bad and use it in the way that Caleb did. Give me this mountain, he said. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I can take it. And by the way, he did take it. Caleb never lived in the past. The past is gone. Caleb used both the negative and positive things, the successes and failures, to push toward the future. And isn't that what we should be doing? Never should saints live in the past. And yet, many live there. Live on our history. Great attendance. Great singing. Great attitudes. Great gospel meetings. Great, great, great. And a lot of people just think back there, oh, we could often be like that. Other people look back. Oh, I'll tell you, I don't know. I've been at congregations. Not many, thankfully. But I've been at congregations. I was at one time, and something bad happened for them, they were telling me. And basically the attitude, well, you know, that's just the way it goes. We're snake bit. It's over for us. We might as well fold up. That was the attitude they were exuding. We can't do that. We can't think that way. And no saint is to think of himself above what he ought to think. And by the way, or to think beneath what he ought to think. We must think in terms of the past and use it to be more and more faithful to the Lord. Let our history spur us closer to the Lord. How many times have we mentioned Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2? But if you go there and you read it, and we've done it several times, 2 through 5, 2 through 4 especially. And what does he say when you read that? Well, you've been faithful. You've served me. You've watched out for false teachers. You've loved me in the past. You've done all of this. One thing he said about him is very serious. One of the most serious things of all. You've lost your first love. But now listen. All of that we've looked at, all of that, you know, sometimes we forget this verse. Our Lord said, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works." Do you know that all of us can do that? We can look back and we can see where we used to be and that love we used to have and all that we were doing individually and as a congregation. And we can say, like Daniel did when he prayed to the Lord, "Your people have sinned against you. Lord, we don't have anything to say. We've left you. We're in apostasy. Forgive your people. Help us." We have that ability. And the Lord was saying, Ephesus, you can do that. You can remember and repent and return. Isn't that a wonderful concept? Depressed, unenergetic, unhappy, down people often are just living in the past and all the bad that's happened in the past. Please, let's work on that. Remember, our positive and negative things must be looked at together. The church in Jerusalem had a great day on the day of Pentecost. That's when the church was established. About 3,000 people were baptized into Christ. I still wonder what that must have looked like. 3,000? How long was it before you had two people in the church there that were lying to the Holy Spirit? And that could really have turned a lot of people off. "Oh, I thought this was a church of the Lord." It was a church of the Lord. And what they did is they had to just see God and His hand in it and move forward. And that somehow Caleb was able to do. He wielded a great influence in his life. You know, wielding an influence is something that sometimes you don't see always. You may be going through life thinking, "Well, you know, I'm doing the best I can, but nobody sees and nobody really seems to notice much, you know." But Caleb had great faith. And he knew what we say all the time here, and we need to be reminded of this all of the time. God sees. God is watching him. He tried to persuade Israel when he came back as one of those 12 spies. He tried to persuade them. They all agreed it was a great land. He came back, though, with Joshua. And what they did is stood before the people and said, "Please don't do this." They tore their clothes. That was a sign of great grief and great emotion. "Please, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." What a wonderful man to stand there with the faith that he had. But he totally trusted in God. Do you remember what I said about Abraham? Totally trusted in God. And they had seen exactly what the other 10 did, who came back saying, "Oh, it's a wonderful land, but we can't take it." Joshua and Caleb said, "Oh, yes, we can. With God, we can take it." Caleb was not the leader. I want to make this point. He was not the leader, but he was a great follower. And he was a great man of the Lord. And I want to tell you something about this. This is so very, very important. Because his attitude was, "I'm not in this to try to compete for anything. I'm in this to be a faithful servant of the Lord and to influence as many people as I can to serve the Lord. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. That's just who he was. Something powerful about someone who isn't appointed leader but serves faithfully. Can you imagine the impact he had on the people around him? Now, you remember what the Lord said when Joshua went and prayed for the people, when the Lord basically said when they came back and said, we're going back to Egypt. We forget this. The Lord's left us. And the Lord said, no, I won't destroy them, Joshua. I won't destroy them. But they're not going into that land. They're going to walk in this wilderness till every one of these men dies, except for you and Caleb. Can you imagine those years passing by? And as this next generation's growing up, and they're saying, well, a lot of people have been dying around here. Who is that guy over there? He seems to be pretty vigorous, and he keeps going. That's Caleb. You don't know who he is? Oh, let me tell you. Way back when, about 20 years ago, some spies went into the land. And most of them said, we can't take it. Caleb was one of them with Joshua, our leader over there, that stood and said, we can do it with the Lord's help. And the Lord promised him he can go into the land. And year by year as it rolled by and people died, and here's Caleb walking on, walking with God's people, walking across that dry riverbed into the land of Canaan, fighting those battles. Can you imagine the impact he had on those people? Focus on our influence. Realize that people are watching us. Paul told Timothy, let no one despise your youth. And I'll say to you, let no one despise your youth. There's not one thing wrong with being young. Not one thing. In fact, Timothy was a younger man, but what did Paul say to him? But be an example to the believers in word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, and purity. I've known of many young people like that. Many. And they just wield a powerful influence to everybody around them. And I've been at places where they've wielded a powerful influence in the congregation. And young people look to them and listen to them because they're good people. They are to be helping. They're in a unique position. And you know, sometimes it's a sad thing, but some people listen to certain people and won't listen to others. And in some cases, young people look to other young people, young men and women, to help them. Well, what should we be doing? What should we be thinking? And that's a good thing. But make sure that you are doing the things that God wants you to do. Some think they've sinned so badly that the Lord could never forgive them. And I will say this. This is not only for young people. This is for everybody. I know that there are some Christians of all ages that get very low and they just think, well, you wonder, well, why won't they get up and go? They just don't believe they can. They believe they're through. They believe, well, the Lord can never forgive me. People can never forgive me. Is that so? Is that true? Well, yeah, you know, if you've built a character and then you do something just way out of character, then you may have to build it back. But one thing you must never forget, you can be forgiven. And you can wield an influence, maybe, to those people who have sinned terribly, and you can go to them and relate to them in a way no one else can. One of the greatest things about Caleb is he still wanted Hebron. At 85 years of age, he still wanted Hebron. He could have said, you know, I went into that land. I spied it out. That was a dangerous mission. We came back. I gave the word, the Lord's word. I've had to walk through this wilderness for 40 years. I've gone in and fought 5 years to get this land to where it is. You know, I'd just like to kind of move over somewhere and kind of retire. I've just had a tough time. But he didn't do that, did he? Have we guarded and built on our faith and hope like He did? Have we? Through all the tribulation and difficulties of life, have we done that? Have I done that? Do you influence younger people, all people, by your faith and your zeal? One thing that's difficult to explain is as you begin to get older, you begin to get tireder. You do. I know it sounds so silly, but you read in the Bible, there are people, as they grow older, many times they fall away from the Lord. And you think, well, why don't they just get up and make that right? Listen, those of you who are younger, that's why you ought to serve the Lord when you're younger and establish those patterns when you're younger. Because when you get older, it doesn't get easier. Are you hearing that? It doesn't get easier. Do you still desire heaven? The idea is, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Caleb didn't. And I've just always wondered what it must have been like to see an 85-year-old man standing there and saying, I'm as able to go in for war now as I was 40 years ago. I'm ready to go. I said something like this one time in a lesson. A guy came up and said, well, I believe the Lord just gave him the vigor just of a young man. And he may have. But the Lord didn't make him have this kind of faith. And he did. Caleb had a realistic view of a godly life. This is an important point. Caleb knew he must confront great obstacles to get the land he wanted. He knew that he was going to have to fight the Anakim. Do you know who they were? I know most of you do. They were a family of giants. You remember, years later, you have David standing there before he was king, a young man, and looking out at Goliath, 9.5 feet tall, standing there, laughing at David. And all the Israelites were just trembling. And David says, you come to me with a sword and a staff and a spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord, and I'm going to take your head off from you today. He wasn't the first person to have that faith, was he? Caleb said, I'm going to take it. I'm going to get it. This is my land. Here's his attitude. This isn't a quote. This is my quote. But this was his attitude. This was his spirit. This is my land. God said, drive the wicked people out. That's simple to understand. Let's just go do it. You know one of the problems with religious people today, with us sometimes? It's not a matter of whether we understand it or not. It's a matter of whether we have the faith to do it just the way the Lord said. I can think of all kinds of reasons He could have given for not doing this. That's not Caleb. One of the greatest obstacles Caleb had was time. And I think we've made this point, but one more time, let me touch it. Can you imagine, I talked about the people looking at him as they were going through that wandering period. Can you imagine about him? Getting up every day, the Lord said, all these people must die except Joshua and me. Every day. There were a lot of people. When is it going to be my time? When am I going to be able to step over to cross that riverbed, to be in that land? And you know that gets a lot of people today? Oh, they may have wandered 30 years, maybe 35 years, and then just said, it's never going to happen. No. One of the greatest enemies we have sometimes is time. We're always saying, well, now, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. One of the greatest dangers is being faithful to the Lord until you're 85 or until you're... That takes enormous faith as well. We face giant challenges, tribulations, and temptations. I had forgotten until I was studying this lesson, and I know it, I've read it many times, but In the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 7, the devil comes to the Lord. And the Lord said, "Where have you come from?" He says, "I come from walking to and fro upon this earth." Isn't that what Peter wrote? Be vigilant, be sober. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I love the Bible images. I don't think they're made up just to scare us. I think that's an accurate picture. He's saying, be at your best. Always keep the best you can, yourself, your mind, in place. Because there's a lion after you, and he's hungry. He's smart. He's crafty. And he'll bring you down if you take that lightly at all. Going to heaven means facing real challenges. Those that enter the kingdom of heaven must suffer tribulation. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of heaven, Paul and Barnabas said. God can help us turn trials into great building experiences, building of our faith, going to heaven. Each spiritual age faces difficulties. Younger people face old habits and friends and youthful desires and on and on and on you could go. Some of those are let go. Not all, but some of those are let go as you get older and more mature in Christ. But you just pass right into some others. Mature in Christ, always right. It gets hard as you get older to say, you know, I was wrong. I just want to confess this to you. I want to confess I was just wrong. Some think they're above God's teachings. Now that sounds very strange to you. I know it does. I've seen this. There are some who think I am so deep and I am so spiritual that I don't have to worry about some of these things. And you may think, well, you've lost your mind. No. I've seen this. Where people think, well, the Lord, I know the Lord. He knows me. And He doesn't expect me to do all this. I'm way beyond these people. They need to learn, but I... Don't you ever forget one thing. Caleb never did. We are men. We are people. And there is not one moment in our lives that we can say to God or His Word, I don't need you. Not until we close our eyes in death and find that peace with Him. Finally, Caleb still expected his promised land. God promised it. He believed He would give it. Just like Abraham again. Caleb took the most secure approach. David, now wait a minute. What are you saying there? You're talking about going to fight giants. Doesn't sound secure to me. You think he thought, oh, I've been wanting to fight giants? I all these other people, they bore me. I need to fight 9 feet, people that are over 9 feet tall. No. He knew. He knew exactly where it was going. And yet I love this verse. I didn't read it on purpose because I want you to get it. Remember Joshua bestowed the land on him? It's yours, just like the Lord promised. You drive them out, all the people. A lot of the tribes didn't. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Look at this. Look. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. I love that. He took his men, took his faith, and went up on that mountain, and he took it. That's my mountain. The Lord gave it to me. And his people took control of it. Abraham, Deborah, the widow of Zarephath, and Paul all took the safe approach. Somebody said, well, David, we know Abraham and Deborah and Paul, and but widow of Zarephath. Who is she? Let me tell you who she was. She was a woman who was not an Israelite, and Elijah was sent to her as he fled from Abraham. And he got to her, and he said, woman, could you please bring me a cup of water? And as she was on her way, he said, oh, and bring me a morsel of bread too. And she turned and said, oh, my Lord, I can't do it. I'm gathering these few sticks here. I only have a handful of meal and a little oil. I'm cooking that for my son. We're in a famine here, and then I'm dying with him. Almost as if he didn't hear her. He said, well, okay, that's fine. Now, would you cook me a cake first and then cook you one? She didn't know him. He said, thus says the Lord of Israel, that meal will not run out and that oil will not run dry until it rains again. She's mentioned in the New Testament as a person of faith, of real faith. She wasn't one of Israel, but she was one of God's people in this sense. What approach are you taking today? You know, sometimes we look at these characters and we just glean so much from them. And that's a wonderful thing. But when we hear lessons, when we read lessons, when we sit in class and we get lessons, I appreciate what Patrick said. Let us learn from that. We can reach heaven, everybody here, but we must not play it safe. What we think is safe is not safe. Individual goals, better students, attitudes, teachers, more positive. I have to tell myself that all the time. It's so easy to, There are times when you just have to say, I'm not talking about overlooking sin. I'm talking about being the kind of positive people that deal properly with sin in our lives and with other people, but are positive about going to heaven. Caleb. Church goals. Reach the lost, strengthen ourselves, mature as a congregation of people. You know, sometimes we want more and more people here, and that's a marvelous thing. But I have learned this. You don't want a building full of people that don't have faith. You want a building full of people that at least, even if they're young in the faith, have faith. And if you have that, you're going to grow. You're going to grow. Spiritually, and in so many cases, numerically. Reaction to gospel lessons that we hear. Well, some people praise and then go their way. Other people, that's kind of unnecessary. I don't know. Seems a little over the top here. Those goals, I don't, you know, I've heard that talked about for so long. We can't do. You know, there are a lot of people surrounding Caleb that had that very same idea. Why, you know, I know Caleb and Joshua, they're those idealistic guys. No, they're way off. They're in the minority. Look at all of us. And then some are just paralyzed by fear. You may not even fully understand that. You may not be serving the Lord today because somewhere in your mind you think, well, I can't go to heaven. Or I can't serve the Lord. That is ridiculous. Everybody in this room, everybody on earth can do what the Lord told us to do. And, by the way, you can go to heaven. You know what the real primary way of going to heaven is? Of course, you've got to love the Lord. I know that. But you've got to want to. You've got to want to with everything inside of you. And as Caleb, there may be times where you have to push your pride aside and say, Lord, okay, I'll walk through this wilderness. I'll walk wherever you say and do whatever you say. I want to go to heaven.